Views and opinions expressed during the drive time are those of Dave Glover and his guests and are not those of Northumberland 89.7. Agree, disagree, or have a comment? Call the station and speak with Dave live on the air. Call 905-372-2321. That's 905-372-2321. Now your host, Dave Glover.
We still have the best audience on radio, I'll tell you right now. We're going to be talking about fishing in Port Hope. We're also going to talk, Jeff Lees has never been to the studio here. I've never had him in the chair, he tells me. And I seem to recall him being here during a campaign, but maybe not. Either way, we're going to talk to him. He is the longest serving councillor in Port Hope right now. He's been on the council for, I think you said 21 years?
It'll be 21 at the end of this term.
21 at the end of this term, listeners. Yikes. What makes him want to stick his head into the noose every few years? We'll ask him about that. Before we get started, though, as per usual, here is a song related to our conversation. Here's the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band with Fishing in the Dark. And, of course, there'll be regulations regarding that as well.
Lazy yellow moon coming up tonight, shining through the trees. Crickets are singing and lightning bugs are floating on the breeze. Baby, get ready. Across the field where the creek turns back by the old stump road, I'm gonna take you to a special place that nobody knows. Baby, get ready. Ooh, ooh.
You and me going fishing in the dark, lying on our backs and counting the stars where the cool grass grows. Down by the river in the full moonlight, we'll be falling in love in the middle of the night, just moving slow.
Almost over and the summer's come and the days are getting long. I waited all winter for the time to be right just to take you along. Baby, get ready. And it don't matter if we sit forever and the fish don't bite. We'll jump in a river and cool ourselves from the heat of the night.
By the river in the full moonlight, we'll be falling in love in the middle of the night.
Yeah, the Nitty Gritty Dirt Band. And that song, Fishing in the Dark, which I don't know if that's even legal. Is that legal in the municipality, Jeff?
Yes, it is.
You can fish after dark. So there you go, listeners. There are general prohibitions, and it is illegal in the municipality of Port Hope and probably in various other parts of the province of Ontario. You can't transport live fish other than bait fish taken from Ontario waters or to transfer or stock any fish from Ontario's waters without a special license. So, for instance, if you're up on Rice Lake and you want to move some fish to the river here, you can't do it. It's straight up illegal unless you got a license. You can't transfer live fish or live spawn from one body of water to another without the authorization of the MNR. You can't possess any of the following live invasive species. These are not allowed here, man, because, of course, they have no natural predator. Rudd, ruffy, bighead carp, black carp, grass carp, silver carp. They really have a hard-on for carp here, folks. Round goboy, tube-nose goby, and any member of the snakehead family. No snakeheads allowed. There's probably signs on the doors. You can use live fish. You cannot, rather, use live fish other than those listed as bait fish. Fish for or possess any species of fish listed on the endangered or threatened under endangered provincial Endangered Species Act. You can't own or catch any of those fish. You can't sell or buy any recreationally caught fish, including for taxidermy mounts. You can't buy or sell crayfish, leeches, frogs, fish eggs, or spawn. Only holders of commercial license, commercial bait licenses may sell their catch. So if you catch it, you got to pretty much eat it yourself. You can't sell it. You probably can give it away, though. I don't know. Anyway, there's a whole raft of other inclusions here. Fish within 25 meters of a pond with a net or a fish culture cage. You can't fish between 22.9 meters or 75 feet downstream from the lower entrance to any fishway or canal or obstacle or any other device designed to assist fish around an obstacle, like, you know, the salmon ladders that we have here locally. And abandon fish or permit the flesh fish to spoil if the fish is suitable for human consumption. So you can't catch it and just leave it on the side of the riverbed.
So right? That's what it's all about. And we have Jeff Lees here to talk to us about some steps that they're taking in Port Hope to bring about some sanity to what has been described by some on some blogs as a pretty insane situation on the Ganaraska River. Can you tell us, first of all, a bit of background about your involvement in this issue and what you've been trying to do?
Basically, my background is I'm a counselor in Port Hope and I'm the chair of Parks and Rec. So last year I got, I would say, probably close to 100 phone calls complaining about all the different situations that were happening last year. Last year seemed to be a phenomenal run in salmon last year. Mm-hmm. The river was low and there was a phenomenal amount. They had over 20,000 salmon went up over the river or the fish ladder last year. They had 20,000. That's a huge amount of salmon in a small river, and especially when the river's low. So they were just, we called it Slaughter Alley down there. That's how bad it was. It was just so bad.
Now, before you became the Parks and Rec coordinator, were you involved at all in this issue? Well, you were saying before that you've been on for about 21 years. Had you been involved before in any aspect in this?
I was chairman of Parks and Rec before, one time before, but never. I've lived in Port Hope my whole life and never seen it this bad. I myself used to fish when I was younger, up till in my mid-20s, and then it's just so crowded down there. I've never fished since.
What was it, do you think, that changed, that made the difference, that has caused all these problems? What's shifted in your mind?
I think it's just the amount of people. I think, you know, it's just overcrowded with people. You're arm to arm with people. There's not enough room in the river to move. The salmon certainly don't have a fighting chance. They don't have. Last year they were being corralled. There was guys completely circling pond, like little pools. The GRCA created pools when they made the depth bigger after the flood. Mm-hmm. So they created all these holding pools and resting pools that salmon could. Well, people were just circling them right around, and you couldn't put a foot between each person. That's how bad it was last year.
Now, that's really strange, because there must be a tension between what the tourism people want. They want to attract people. This is a great natural resource. Fishing's a great sport.
It is.
To participate in. And there's lots and lots of material goes out that points to the Ganaraska as one of the best river fishing experiences in eastern Ontario.
It is, and we don't want to, you know, the legal fisherman that comes and is a sports fisherman, they really appreciate what the Ganarasca offers, but it's the other people that come that we don't want in Port Hope. You know, they bring their families, they bring the techniques that they're doing, they're snaring, they're snagging, they're netting fish, they're gutting fish, they're leaving the carcasses on people's property, they're leaving them on our property, they're leaving them everywhere. It's cost the municipality of Port Hope last year, I would say close to $100,000 to clean up all the mess from last year. And you know, the other parts of it is it's the impact on the municipality. You know, fall is very busy for us. We have lots of events going on, and we want tourists to come. The tourists come, we think, to see the fish. They don't come to see the fishermen carry on in those manners. And it was just not tolerable last year. We couldn't put up with it anymore.
So besides the illegal stuff that's going on, I mean, how do you get that information out to people that are not from the community? I mean, you were saying before we went on to air that the M&R is telling you that once people get past Clarington, essentially, as far as they're concerned, it's the Wild West out here and you can do whatever the hell you want. It's the country, after all. Who's going to regulate it? But the regulations are there to protect the fish and also the communities, right? Because, you know, we were talking before we went on air, you know, photographs of guys up on Rice Lake with, you know, hundreds of walleye. They were two guys catching like, you know, 50, 60 fish. You were telling a story about a guy on the banks of the Ganarasca in town with some 28 fish that he'd caught, which was, I mean, the limit's 5, right?
Right.
You can only catch what you can consume, I believe.
Yeah.
And the goal is primarily for catch and release.
Mm-hmm.
But we're talking about a river that feeds the salmon population right up through, you know, the Trans-Severn Waterway, through an entire system or network of waterways where people enjoy fishing throughout. And if they can't, you know, they won't be able to get access to fish if they're all being scooped up here in
Port
Hope, right? That's the concern.
And last year we saw, you know, we've seen so many real fishermen, we call them, the real sportsmen. They were turned off themselves. They'd go down for a little bit and they'd say, you know what, we're out of here. This is just not fishing. And we're going to go somewhere where it's quieter, where the water's deeper, where the fish actually have a chance. And there's a bit of skill. What we saw last year was no skill involved. It was just a pure slaughter, you know, corralling fish, netting them, snagging them, gutting them. That's not a sport. That was just a
shooting fish in a shooting barrel.
Yeah, they had no chance. The salmon actually had no chance of even getting up. So they had no chance of spawning. And that's the other thing. We're concerned about, you know, next year, the year after. If they don't spawn, that resource is going to be gone for everyone, not just these people now.
So it sounds to me there's two things that are going on. One is the littering, just the sheer numbers and the garbage and the behavior that goes on, and the mess that's got to get cleaned up then. But there's also this thing you talk about gutting. Why wouldn't somebody gut a fish right at the riverside and leave the carcass? What's going on there?
What they do is they take the salmon roe. The roe is used for bait. They use the roe as a bait.
I see.
What they do is they gut the fish, take the salmon roe out of it, and keep the roe, and then just toss the carcass of the fish. They leave it at the side of the road, you know, they leave it by the side of the river, the road, throw it up on people's lawn, pull them on our property. I would say last year our Parks and Rec department would go down every day and they would take away 3 to 4 pickup truck loads of fish carcasses away every day last year. Guaranteed.
Wow.
And you think about two men, the time, the labor, and also all that fish, you know, I hate to say it, but there's food banks out there. There's people, you know, I always believe if you're going to catch a fish, keep it or return it back, catch and release, which is fair. But just to discard that food and that fish for someone else to clean up and a community, that's a huge impact on everybody.
It's interesting because this problem sounds a lot like the one that Coburg faces around Victoria Beach. In other words, people come from away. They come to the community and they want to use the facility, but oftentimes the way that they want to use it conflicts with the way that we envision as a community that we want to see it being used. How do you solve this problem then? Because it sounds to me this is a big problem and you've started to take some steps, but how does a community do this?
Well, again, I think it's through communication. I mean, after last year, we've had 3 meetings with all the stakeholders, the M&R, Port Hope Police, the Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters,
mm-hmm.
GRCA. We had all the people at the table, and they all were concerned. We have support from all of them. They don't want to see this stuff go on as well because it's not good for any of those organizations and especially the community. So you have to get it out to the public. You know what? Please come to our community, but don't abuse it and don't abuse the natural resources that we have. Port Hope is very proud of the Ganarasca River running through it. It's a great resource for the town in many, many ways. It attracts tourists, but tourists just don't come to see that kind of stuff.
So how do you specifically do that? You've said a couple of times we need to communicate. So how are you doing that specifically?
We used all those people at the table. We used the GRCA has put it out in some of their literature, and they put it out on their website that these are the things that are going on. The Ontario Federation of Anglers and Hunters, they've been very good with us. They put it out on their stuff. They put it out on their blog. They have all kinds of Twitter stuff. And they're just saying that, you know, this is what happened last year. Port Hope has a zero tolerance this year, and they're going to be handing out tickets. And we are handing out tickets as we speak.
How many tickets have been handed out so far this year?
Just the Port Hope Police Service. Actually, last night I gave a report. There was 8 alcohol-related tickets given out. There was 1 impaired related to fishing given out last night. And there was also, on Saturday, and also 4 straight regulation. That was just Saturday. I got that report. And then as I was coming down here, I stopped at the Walton Street Bridge and seen 2 officers on either side of the bridge with their notepads out and handing out tickets tonight as I was coming in here. So it's good to see. I'm glad that zero tolerance is being...
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to obviously talk a little bit more about what zero tolerance means, but maybe we can talk a little bit more about what else that we can do, either the municipality or the MNR or GRCA, or maybe as a consortium. We'll be right back with more of Jeff Lees right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. This is Consider This Live.
Hi, I'm Wendy Bellin.
And I'm David Hayes.
And we are part of the Cedar Rail Band. And our show, it's all about the music, is heard Wednesday evenings from 7 till 8 p.m.
The show presents the lives and music of local singer-songwriters, as well as the lives and music of famous musical icons from the 1950s to the present.
So please tune in to It's All About the Music on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
This is Allison Houston from Port Hope Public Library, your destination for inspiration, imagination, and information. The Farley Mowat boat-roofed house is being relocated Thanksgiving weekend. As part of the 2-day event, Port Hope Public Library is hosting a celebration of one of Canada's great writers and environmentalists. All events take place at the Mary J. Benson Branch on Queen Street. October 3rd to 6th is Farley on Film, with Farley stories unfolding on screen each evening. October 8th is all-day programming with games and activities for little ones presented by Port Hope Parks and Rec Department. At 1 p.m., Ontario Falconry will present a Birds of Prey live demonstration. At 2 p.m., readings by Farley's friends, Northern explorer Ken McCougan, author-publisher Anna Porter, and Farley's wife, Claire Mowat, to be followed by the unveiling of the Farley Mowat bust, a gift from the Mowat family. On October 9th at 9:30 a.m., join Pine Ridge Hiking Club for a Farley hike along the Port Hope Waterfront Trail. For details about the weekend, check out the followingfarley.ca. For information about the library's weekend events, visit our website at www.phpl.ca or call 905-885-4712.
If you would like to hear your business broadcast across Northumberland County, advertise with us, Northumberland 89.7.
And welcome back to the broadcast. My guest in the studio is councillor for the municipality of Port Hope, and the councillor responsible for Parks and Rec and fishing, obviously, is part of that. And Rob Washburn, professor of e-journalism at Loyalist College, who is a regular co-host here for Consider This Live. Now, one thing that came to my mind, we're talking about how we can educate the public, but a lot of the people that we're talking about trying to reach, we have to reach who don't even live here. So are we talking about running PSAs on Chex TV, or are we running things on City TV? Maybe you guys can invite City TV to come on down here and talk about it. Something along those lines. I know you were saying that the Association of Anglers and Hunters, we're going to sort of pick up the mantle on that one. How successful do you think that's going to be, though, in educating these people who, as we know, are coming here and really are just flouting the rules?
Well, again, we're hoping that, you know, because the anglers or Federation of Anglers and Hunters, they're really focusing on the real sportsmen and the real people. This is their sport. They, you know, so a black eye like this to them is really insulting. So we're hoping, just like every other sport, that they, you know, put it out there and, you know, don't go to Port Hope if you intend to do these illegal things. And, mm-hmm. you know, like I said, the real fishermen won't come to Port Hope and see that. They'll go down and try it for a little bit. I talked to so many people that were real sports fishermen last year, and they just came up out of the river and said, you know, we're going to go somewhere else where it's quieter and, you know, the fish have a chance and it's more of a sport. This isn't a sport.
So how do you reach the unreal fishers out there then? I mean, if they're not members of the association and they're not quote-unquote real fishermen. They're just out there to do damage, clearly.
Well, again, through stuff like this and through the newspapers, and we haven't took out advertising in the GTA and stuff like that. We haven't got that far yet. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we're trying to use every avenue locally to get it out there, you know, that we don't like this kind of stuff going on in our municipality.
Well, if you're listening and you work with City TV, maybe you want to come down to Port Hope and, you know, while you're doing a great story on the Capitol Theater, have a look at the Ganaraska River and what's happening down there as well. I know you have a question, Rob.
Yeah, I do. I'm really curious, though, in terms of the outreach and the types of things that you're doing. Can we maybe just step up back? There was a story in the last couple of weeks within the media about signage going up. Can you just talk a bit about what the signage is and what it is you're trying to achieve through the signage?
We posted 15 bilingual, the signs are in three different languages, English, French, and Mandarin. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping, you know, by posting it, we've got signs between the Port Hope Rotary Walkway Bridge up to Barrett Street Bridge. Mm-hmm. We've got those. That's the main area where we seem to have the most problems because the water's shallow and it's very, very congested in that area. Mm-hmm. So those were all the spots. Those were the main spots last year where we've seen all these infractions going on all the time. So we posted all these signs, and it has Port Hope Police Services number on there and also the M&R number on there, mm-hmm, for people to call. If you see any illegal fishing or things that you don't agree with, littering, all that, we want people, that's the big thing. We want the public to help us with, because we can't be there 24 hours a day, and I can't be there, and neither can the police. But, you know, the public's out there. Please help us, you know, with this situation.
That's interesting, too, because you said there's also been some special initiatives in terms of the local police and enforcement. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Yeah, the M&R, again, we've had these meetings, and the M&R came down and taught a six-hour course to our local Port Hope police. And every platoon has one officer that deals strictly with fish-related stuff, and they were trained by the M&R to deal with this specifically because there is a lot of specialty things. You know, most policemen, mm-hmm, you know, it's kind of a specialty thing getting into, you know, what kind of hooks and how they can do it. And so they came down and taught our guys basically one, and then there was some other people that took it as well. So the Port Hope Police has put on extra duties for the month of September, so they will be out there, and they put extra time and money in the budget to have overtime on these weekends and things like, mm-hmm, that. So they're going to be out there presently, and it was funny, like I said, tonight I seen them down there writing tickets, and I thought, that's great, you know, this is going to get the word out. I always think, you know, it's like when you're speeding, and if you go by that section and you get a speeding ticket, it sure gets out there quick that, you know, you better watch speeding through that area because you're going to get a ticket. Mm-hmm. Well, we're hoping the same thing happens here when the word gets out that, you know, there's 80-100 tickets being given out here. People are losing their vehicles. They're losing lots of things over this. So you better be careful when you come to Port Hope because they're going to ticket you. We're hoping the same message gets out there through the fishing community. Mm-hmm. If you come to be a sportsman and you know, really appreciate the place that we have to offer, great. But if you come to do that illegal stuff, you're going to get ticketed. And we don't want that kind of stuff.
Well,
in
recently,
the municipality.
In a recent media report, this was in Northumberland News, one of the last things in the piece was that Mayor Sanderson said the municipality could close sections of the river to fishing during September. Now, that's obviously not something the municipality wants to do. But the reality is, you know, and this is the whole thing. You got a few out there, want to call them renegades if you want, that don't want to follow the rules. They're pretty straightforward rules. You know, you can only catch so many fish and you can't use nets. I mean, it's not rocket science here, folks. But the reality is, if it impacts the municipality to the point where it's costing $100,000 a year, for instance, for enforcement. I mean, last year, in September of 2015, the M&R recorded 135 hours of patrolling and issued 86 charges. That was in September of last year. That was a record year for M&R doing that. So really, what we need to be able to do, not just educate, but obviously having the presence of a police officer, as you say, we've spent the time now, the M&R has trained an officer to do that. What is ultimately the goal here from the municipality then?
You know, we want people to come and enjoy the municipality. We just don't want all this other stuff that comes along with it. And like I said, the fall is a very busy season. We have the fall fair, we have the jazz festival, mm-hmm, we have Cultivate, we have a lot of events downtown. Mm-hmm. And that's the major drawback of having the river. It runs right through the center of our town. So when people are walking around, they're, you know, they go down and see the fish, but then they see all this other stuff, it kind of turns them off. And we want people to come back and enjoy Port Hope. We don't want them to see that kind of stuff.
Is a ban a really an option on the table for the municipality?
Well,
in the lower sections, not up the entire river, but just in that lower section where it's so problematic.
It could be. After last year, our council took a real hard stance and said, you know what, Jeff, if you could take this lead on this one, you know, and try to get all the groups together and try to stop this stuff or even cut it down. We don't want to see the numbers go up. But, you know, they said if we have to and it keeps carrying on and the numbers keep going up, we'll do a bylaw where it's trespassing if you go on our property to get into the river. And the GRCA is giving us 100% backing as well. They said they would back us in any bylaw that we wanted to come forward.
Because I begin to wonder, and I don't know how you feel about this, Dave, but, you know, serious anglers, they don't enjoy this kind of fishing. You've described it quite well. And those who are really serious about it, they're going to find somewhere else up the river. And, you know, if they want to grab a meal or they're looking for accommodation, they're going to come back into town and find that.
That's right.
So you begin to wonder, what's really the upside of even allowing it, if it's going to be abused so seriously?
Well, you know, all the stakeholders, we all agreed that, you know, banning fishing in those areas was our last resort. If it gets down to where we can't do anything anymore, we've all tried our best to curb all this behavior, and it's our very last resort, because I look at it, and so do the other people. Fishing in Ontario is a right that we want to give to everyone. You know, it's nothing better than having your children go down, enjoy fishing, learning how to fish. We've all done it. You know, and being in Canada, I take it as one of those things that's my right as a Canadian to learn how to fish. And it's a great thing, you know, and you would hate to say to people, well, you can't fish there anymore. And I don't want to do that. Nobody does. And that's why we're trying to curb it by doing this, because we want people and kids and families to come down and enjoy themselves. We don't want them to put up with this kind of stuff, and they shouldn't have to. You know, a lot of, you know, real serious anglers, they want to teach their kids. And that's a right of being a Canadian, as far as I'm concerned, is fishing. Fishing's a right, and we should all enjoy it. And we want to enjoy it. But you can't enjoy it with this kind of stuff going on, because real fishermen, they do not like it.
Are there any characteristics to the people that do this that a certain kind of person or a certain individual? Or how does that work? Or is it just everybody? There's just... How does that work? It seems strange to me.
I don't think it's any kind of person. You know, like over the last couple of years, you go walking around town and kind of watch the river, and it's no particular type of person, I don't think. I think it's just a mindset where, you know, salmon are unlike rainbows and that. Salmon, this is their last, they go up the river and spawn and they die. That's it. They only spawn once, but a rainbow will spawn three or four times. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they'll come up and down that river. But I don't know if we don't have as much trouble in the spring with rainbow as we do salmon. And I don't know if it's because people think that maybe these are going to die anyways, so it doesn't really matter. Because it's their last run, they're going to spawn and they're going to die anyways. So it's almost that attitude where salmon aren't as quite as valuable maybe as the rest of the fish. But I don't feel that way, and I certainly don't like the mess that's left behind. Mm-hmm. You know, and like you said, it's almost like in Coburg, when people come, they enjoy the facility, they enjoy the place, but they leave their garbage and mess behind. And with the salmon, the garbage and mess is the salmon and all the litter and the garbage that comes with it. And like Coburg, we don't want that mess here either in Port Hope.
So are you educating these fishers then to if you do, you know, I mean, obviously you want to catch your limit. You catch any more than that, you know, obviously you're going to be fined. So you get to your limit, you don't want people cleaning and gutting their fish. But if they're cleaning, gut their fish, throw it in a bag, take it with them, obviously no concerns, right? That's
right.
Following the rules.
And you know what? The other thing is the municipality, we provide a 24-hour-a-day cleaning station. We have it all marked along the river that, you know, you go down to the harbor, there's a full cleaning station down there. So you don't have to gut it alongside the river. So, again, we're trying to accommodate the fishermen. Mm-hmm. We put extra garbage pails all the way along the river. We put porta potties along the river. We provide a 24-hour-a-day washrooms down at the harbor and a full stainless steel cleaning station where they can do it properly and no mess, no fuss. You know, put it through the carburetor, it gets cleaned up. It's no problem. We're trying to provide everything for these people, but still.
Is it fair to say then that the people that are doing it on the side of the river are probably up to no good then? I mean, it would make sense to me that if you were following the rules that you would just go down to the cleaning station and do everything appropriately.
Yeah.
So is that really sort of an indicator that these people are willing to just break the rules?
Well, yeah, and you wonder, you know, when you get your fishing license, it has all these things right on your fishing license. It's like a deer license. It's like a, you know, hunting license. All these things are provided you when you buy your fishing license. And we're finding a lot of people just don't even have a fishing license. You know, they just come and a lot of the charges so far, they're just like a deer license. You have to have it on your persons. Well, a lot of them don't even have a fishing license. So, and you know, they always it's the culture thing, and you try not to get into that too much, but it just seems to be that way, you know, understanding English. That's why we put all the signs in three languages to try to cover as much as we can, that people, you know, we don't want mm-hmm. you to do this behavior. And, you know, there's a tip line to phone the police and phone the MNR on these signages in three different languages. So we're trying to cover as many bases as we can, but also we're providing the facilities there for the real fishermen to enjoy themselves.
The tension between the promotion of tourism and then this kind of abuse is always interests me, because it is so tense. Mm-hmm. It is so tense to say, on one hand, you work so hard to promote this as a resource, to promote it as an activity within the mm-hmm. community, to draw tourists here, to bring those dollars in, to help the local economy. And yet at the same time, with these abuses, you end up spending so much money and so many resources and trying to just keep everybody to play by the rules.
That's right. Yeah, we do. And, you know, that's the other thing. We had our marketing department at this meeting as well. And they said last year, the amount of people coming in that were tourists that were, you know, walking around town, coming in and saying, what's with all that mess over there? And why are those people doing that? Other people that don't understand why those people are doing it, they know it's wrong. But, in broad daylight, it's not like people are hiding it anymore. You know, on last Sunday, I watched a guy running up the river with a net in one hand and a fishing pole in the other, and he was trying to net that fish right in open broad daylight in front of three people, Parks foreman, myself, and another man. He was standing right in front of us, running up the river, trying to net that salmon, which is, we all know, is illegal. Anybody knows that. That's an easy one. And the guy was doing it in broad daylight at 9:30 Sunday morning.
Well, and that's a great spot to break. We'll take our next break. When we come back, more of our conversation. We're talking fishing in the municipality of Port Hope, here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7.
Most people tire of lectures in 10 minutes, but clever people can do it in 5. Many a man in love with a dimple makes the mistake of marrying the whole girl. The dry humour you can expect when Brian reads Leacock. Stephen Leacock, favourite comic author of Jack Benny and Groucho. Read by me, Pat Ryan, Sundays at 1:30 p.m. on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.
Hey, what a neat place. Look at these comfy club chairs and TV.
Yeah, Pat and Rob's is more than just a great ice cream shop. They also have great sandwiches, convenience store treats, and lottery tickets. This is a great place for lunch.
Or a banana split.
You and your banana split.
Jim and Donna would love it here.
You're right. Let's call them next time.
Pat and Rob's, 32 King Street West, Coburg.
I'm Pete Smith, inviting you to listen this fall for The Dog Paws, Wednesdays at 2 on my show, Post Meridian. Send your questions to our three dog care experts, the trainer, the groomer, or the vet, and each week one of them will join me to answer your questions live on air. All you need to do is go to postmeridian897.ca and click on The Dog Paws and choose an expert. So this fall, listen for The Dog Paws, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. on Post Meridian, right here on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio. Good girl.
Do you want to know more about many of the programs and services available right here in Northumberland County? Then join me, Jamie Simmons, Tuesday from 11 to 12 on 89.7 Truly Local Radio for In Our Own Backyard. Take a journey behind the scenes of the many local agencies as I speak with the caring and giving people that make Northumberland County such a great place to call home. That's In Our Own Backyard, Tuesdays from 11 to 12 on 89.7 Truly Local Radio.
Follow Northumberland 89.7 on social media. We're on Facebook and Twitter. Get connected through our website at northumberland897.ca.
And welcome back. My guest in the studio is Jeff Lees, as well as Rob Washburn. We've been talking fishing in the municipality of Port Hope. And, I mean, you think you've heard some crazy stories. We were talking during the break here, and Jeff's telling us a story that happened just this weekend, listeners. And why don't you relay that to the listeners? Let's just give them an idea of how ridiculous this is.
Well, I went down to, I go to the coffee shop in the morning, so one of the local people that watches over the river and is a really big fan of the river, he flagged me over and said, hey, watch this. So there was a guy there with a three-prong hook on the end of a line, which is illegal, and he was weighting it up, putting more weight on there, and he was trying to snag it. And so I watched that for about 20 minutes with me, and then along come the Parks foreman, who's, you know, local guy as well. And so the three of us standing there watching this guy, And I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to try going to this sign that we have posted and see if it really works. So I phoned the Port Hope police and told them what was going on. This guy was illegally snagging fish. And yeah, for sure, 8 minutes, the police were there. Police showed up. They were watching him. They came down and said, Jeff, is that the guy you've been watching? I said, yeah. And he said, okay. So he went around, said to the guy, you know, can you come up here? Where's your license? They didn't have his license on him, which right beginning is a fine. So you have to have your license on you. It's just like when you go deer hunting or anything, you have to have your mm-hmm. license. And so he took him across the road to his vehicle where his license was. And while the officer was across the road writing the ticket for the this guy trying to snag, there was three, you know, grown men, myself, the park's foreman, and another gentleman. We watched this other man who's down in the river with a fishing pole in one hand and a net in the other, running up the river trying to net the salmon. And you know, anybody that knows that, most people that aren't fishermen, they even know it's illegal to net a salmon or any other kind of fish right in a small river like that. So, you know, it's in broad daylight, you know, people don't care. They just, maybe they don't think people are watching, but there's three grown men standing there watching. The guy couldn't help but see. And it wasn't a young person either, or, you know, it was about a 35, 40-year-old man. He knew exactly what he was doing. He already had a fishing pole in one hand, so he knew that's what he should be doing, but had that net in his hand, and he was running up the shallow water trying to net this salmon. And the gentleman that was with me, he started yelling at him, and they kind of, you know, pushed back and forth with words and stuff, and then the gentleman finally let the salmon go. So it's just amazing what people will do. It's just amazing.
And of course, this happened while another guy was already being, to use the phrase, busted for doing the same thing. So I mean, to use the word idiot is probably extremely apt. Now, what kind of fines are we talking about here in terms of dollar value? Is that something that could motivate people not to violate the rules, is increasing the fines perhaps?
I'm not really sure, to be honest with you, what the fine is. I've never looked into that part because I've never got one or heard of anybody around my area getting one. But I know, I would imagine it's fairly hefty. Mm-hmm. I would think, you know, it's illegal, so...
Well, and you lose everything. I mean, you lose your fishing gear.
Well, you can. It's again, up to them. I think it's the MNR who has that right, I think. Mm-hmm. Like I said, last year we had one gentleman had 27 or 28 fish on display. He was counting them in behind the Walton Street apartments with a Honda Accord, and somebody took a picture of him, sent it to the police, and the police came right down, and then the MNR came. And I think they were the ones that took his equipment, took his fishing license, took his car, took mm-hmm. everything. Mm-hmm. And you know what? When you go beyond that, where you got one person takes that many fish illegally, it really serves them right.
One of the things that's really interesting about this is that this is not really a municipal responsibility. Certainly the litter and waste is a municipal responsibility, mm-hmm. but this is a provincial responsibility, and these are provincial offenses. Why is the municipality so involved in this? Why aren't you just saying to MNR, listen, guys, get down here and do your job?
Well, we did, but, you know, the MNR is just like a lot of the other ones. They say there's one guy that, you know, he looks after all these areas, and then they were very good. Once, I think last year what happened was this slaughter and stuff started happening, and we were kind of late getting into the picture. It was already happening, but this year we wanted to be ahead of the game, so that's why we got them together. But the MNR is just like everybody else. They say they're so stretched with people, they don't have enough people in the area. Like the one gentleman that's the enforcement officer for this area, his area is huge. I mean, I can't remember how far east and how west and north. It's just a huge area for one person to cover, and they're just like every other you know, provincially regulated area. They're just so stretched out. There's not enough people out there to do a proper job. And you know, with all the different seasons that come along, goose season, turkey season, deer season, you know, for those guys there's one right after another, and I don't know how one person could cover all that. I don't think really they can.
But you've already mentioned there are associated costs with this that come onto the burden of the property taxpayer locally. Is it really the local taxpayers' role to be paying for this? Aren't we already paying for it, though, through our provincial taxes?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think the province should be covering most of this, and if not all of it. But again, you know, you go to them, but again, you know, up at that level, they pull people away, and they cut services, and they do this and that. Well, this is what happens when you do those kind of things. There's not enough coverage to do this. And I mean, you look in this area alone, you know, there's Bowmanville, there's Cobourg, there's Port Hope, mm-hmm. all those fishing areas, they all fish right now. One guy can't cover all that as himself, and then I'm sure, you know, Cobourg has a certain, I know Bowmanville has the same problem. We had a meeting there last year, and it was an open meeting about this new camera that they're putting in at the fish ladder in Port Hope. Well, people from Clarington were coming down, and they were saying that they had the same problems up there. And mm-hmm. the one guy said, well, I'm only one guy, and I can't cover that whole area. Mm-hmm. And I think that is a provincial responsibility, that they're just not – they don't have enough people out there.
So maybe you should send the bill to the province then.
Well, it was funny, you know.
I spent $100,000 last year. Here's your bill, Luke.
Yeah, you know what? I've been in this game, like I said, for 19 years, and I've never yet called on my provincial appointee or elected official to come and help us, but I did last year. Mm-hmm. It was the first time I ever called. I called Lou Rinaldi last year, and I've never called Lou politically ever in my 19 years being on council. Last year, I phoned him. I said, Lou, we need help up here. This is just getting unbelievable. And so I mm-hmm. sent Lou those pictures of that guy with 27 fish and these other guys in broad daylight netting. I said, Lou, how would you like this in your backyard? Because it's happening in our backyard, and we need help up here. You need to come and help mm-hmm. us. And it was funny, because then shortly afterwards, they started pulling in resources. But like I said, last year, we got kind of in at the end of this whole thing. Mm-hmm. This year, we wanted to be ahead of it, like yourselves. It's, you know, the beginning of September. Last year, we were in the middle to the end of September. So we were kind of getting it at the end. So,
mm-hmm. Well, it's interesting that is still a huge... And so obviously this year, you want to get out of the gate early. We do have a caller coming through. I hope it's somebody who's interested in talking to us. Good afternoon. You're on the air, Northumberland 89.7.
Hey, how's it going?
You're doing great. How's yourself?
Excellent. Glad to hear you guys are talking about the fishing, but one thing we got to get a little tougher on is I volunteered and turned a couple guys in fishing, offered to go to court, and they just cut them deals so they could almost walk away with like a $200 fine, and they were snagging, they had six salmon underneath the bridge just by the falls.
Really?
Yeah.
By the fish sanctuary.
Yeah. We watched them, even videotaped them, and you know, I don't mind supporting. I live in Port Hope, and I'm very disappointed what goes on also as a sportsman. But I was quite disappointed of how it ended up in the day of court.
Well, you know what? Thank you for calling. What's your name?
It's Scott Cameron, and I live in Port Hope. I just was...
Well, no, I'm glad you called, Scott, because that's not something we discussed as yet. But you know what? That's a huge point, because there's no point spending all this money at M&R or at the municipality going around and enforcing these regulations if, as you say, when it gets to court or it doesn't get to court, there's a deal on the table and the guy pays a fine and walks away. So really, how much money are we wasting on enforcement? I appreciate your call.
Yeah. Anyways, I appreciate everything you guys are doing. I'm glad to hear our boys in town are trained to help enforce the rules.
Well, thank you for your call.
And good job with you guys. Thanks.
Thank you so much. Thanks for listening. So there you go. So this is proof right there in the pudding that the conversation we're having is getting that up there. But that really does raise the question of what happens. So you bust these guys, you give them fines, and you know, are they going to get a sweet negotiated deal?
So I guess the question is then, are you going to be following up on this, seeing how many charges are laid, see what kind of fines and penalties in your final report to council?
Yep, absolutely. Like I said, I just gave a report there last night of over the weekend, the activities. Like I said, there was eight alcohol-related charges to do with fishing. There was one impaired to do with fishing, and there was four fishing-related charges given just on Saturday night alone. So I'm going to keep updated. Our director of Parks and Rec is sending another email off to the M&R to see what kind of support we're going to get from them as well, and hopefully we'll get reports back from them to see how many tickets and things are being laid. Because again, the council at the end of this thing wants a report back to council to see how we're making out. If there's more enforcement, if the numbers are going up. Our council's talking about shutting it down, and I hope that never happens.
But one of the things that the caller said, and I think this is a critical piece in the puzzle, is what happens when they get in front of a judge? What's happening when the actual consequences of their action are taking effect? Are you going to be tracking that, and are you going to be reporting to council on that?
I can try. I don't know how I would. I don't know how every ticket goes to court, and I don't know how I could keep track of what deals were made here and there. But mm-hmm. it's like every other deal. I think our police officers and all these enforcement people go out and do a hard job, and they get a ticket or they get a case under study. They do all these hours and hours of work to take that case to court, mm-hmm. and then there's a plea bargain. And I mean, that happens with everything. I mean, speeding tickets, mm-hmm. everything that mm-hmm. and you got to understand that it's got to be frustrating for all these officers out there that are enforcing these laws mm-hmm. and bylaws that you know, people can go to court and get a petty thing put down.
But certainly, I mean, if you ask the question at the Police Services Board, for them to track that, find out how many, I mean, that'll give you a number.
Oh, yeah, like I said, I'm going to probably next council meeting on the 20th, I'm probably going to give another report of what Port Hope Police has done and what's the M&R done, and we're gonna keep track of all that stuff. That's the whole plan here, is to keep track of this thing.
Yeah, well, obviously, from what we're hearing from this caller anyway, one of the concerns from Fishers out there is that it's one thing to say we're going to find these people, but we need to find out what the end result is going to be.
Right.
And perhaps this is the first time you're actually hearing about it, maybe, or even thinking of it as something to think about. So I want to thank the caller for making that call, because that really is a concern. It's the same thing with bylaw enforcement across the board. In a lot of cases, the person can, you know, plead to something else or just pay the fine, and it doesn't really go beyond that. But if we're talking about seizing vehicles, seizing all of their equipment, and then they just pay a fine, you know, again, there needs to be perhaps a bigger fine, a bigger result for the violations, you know, and maybe the province needs to look at increasing those. And that's, again, that falls into M&R's wheelhouse, unfortunately, where the municipality is going to have to pick up. Because as you say, we do have one trained officer who is trained in the duties of the M&R.
On every platoon. Yeah, every platoon has one.
Exactly. Well, now, you've been in council for, you're now the longest serving councillor in Port Hope. You will be by the end of your term anyway, having served 21 years at that point. Can you talk us a little bit through how the experience has been for you? I mean, when you first started off, you were the youngest councillor, I understand, to be elected to council.
I'd be really interested to hear what's the difference between previous council and the current council. What do you notice as being the biggest difference between the two terms?
As you know, we don't have a CAO. Like I said, this is my sixth election, and I've dealt with six different councils. Every council is different. This one decided that they didn't want to run with a CAO this time, and I think that's the biggest difference I would see so far.
And what do you think of that?
There's some good points and there's some bad points. The good part of it is that I always found when directors, the heads of each department, would send a report in, it would always seem to be either get buffeted or it would be the spin would put on it before it got to us. I find with no CAO being there, you actually get the report wholesome from that director without it being critiqued or, you know, kind of
tweaked
a little bit in that person's, the CAO's opinion and stuff. I find the biggest difference right now is we get the facts directly from the director as the director sees it, and it's not put through another person that spins it or turns it. I find that's the biggest difference right now. We're getting the facts directly from the director who deals with it every day. And I think that's a much better system.
Now, last week we interviewed Terry Hickey, and we've also interviewed Mayor Sanderson. And both of them have said numerous times that they feel like a lot of the work that's being done now is getting after issues that weren't dealt with by previous councils. Do you think that's a fair critique as someone who's sat through?
No, not really. Honestly, this council doesn't give much credit to past councils, and it's that was the hardest thing for me is I know I sat on a lot of other councils, and a lot of those other councils and councillors did a lot of good stuff. This council really doesn't see any other council as doing anything valuable, I would say. A lot of other councils did some really hard work, and they, you know, they might have not did popular things, but they did them. At least they did the work. This council, I don't see as giving any credit to any other councils.
Why do you think that is?
I really don't know. I mean, there, you know, majority of us, as you know, we got pretty well cleaned out last election. I'm myself and Greg Burns from the rural area were acclaimed. Greg Burns was acclaimed, and I was the only one that survived from the old council. So, you know, people wanted change. Well, like someone said the other day, when people were complaining, there's been a few decisions that people don't like, and that's always the thing. Well, you know what? They wanted change. They got it. You know, they elected these people. They wanted change. They got it. And you always got to wonder, do you really, is that what you want? And you asked for change, so now you got it. You know, you just wonder if that's what the kind of change they wanted. And, you know, that's the thing. These people were elected by the people, and obviously for a change, because they cleaned everybody out that was there. you got the change, and now some people aren't happy with it.
Well, exactly. Be careful what you wish for.
Exactly.
That's probably the great mantra.
Yeah.
Well, I want to thank you for being here, and we will have you back when we can get some updates on this and so many other things that are happening in Port Hope. I want to thank you for being here this afternoon.
Absolutely. My pleasure.
And Rob, always a pleasure to be here. We're going to close the show with Jimmy Boskill's Weekend Fish Fry right here on Truly Local Radio, Northumberland 89.7. This is The Drive Time. We'll be back tomorrow.
Get to that cabin back in the woods, and I can't wait, it's gonna be good. Sugar, wicks, and kerosene, finest place I ever be. Feeling good about myself, something is a good amount in my mind. Growth is right. So let me sound like trees. Deer flies buzzing through the trees. Lord have mercy, they're all after me. Feeling good about myself, simple as I'm gonna melt in my mind. Point that flat bottom toward the honey hole. Looking out at the lake, not another soul. Some monkey gonna let me some bass. Spark up the frat pan, I've arrived at last. Feeling good about myself, simple as I'm gonna melt in my mouth. To the beaver dam, I'm jumping at. Big white boy in behind the wheel. It's how to make a fishing blues man feel.